We're in a supernatural, miracle-working, holy season of God, Passover, sundown April 22nd through April the 30th. This is a time that God himself set on his calendar. It's a moed, which means a divine appointment. Now, if God sets up an appointment, you don't want to miss it. So what is this appointment all about? Well, let's go to Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read some word, 1 through 15, and hear what Passover is about and how it applies to you. It's not just something from the Old Testament. Though we're released from the legalism of the law, according to the book of James, we still are to practice the divine appointment. There are principles that we live by that are vitally important to us as New Testament believers. So in Exodus 12, here we go. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man takes a lamb for his family, one for each household." Now, are you getting the picture? It starts with a lamb. "If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You're to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be a year old male without any defect." You see it? No imperfection. Of course, it's a type and shadow of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. "And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month. All the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." And this is the most important, verse 7. "Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the house where they eat the lambs. The same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast." Then he goes into all the details and he says, "This is the Passover," verse 12. "On the same night I will pass through Egypt and I will strike down every firstborn and both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. And the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." Now, verse 14, "This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." God says this will be celebrated forever. And whether you're looking in the Hebrew or the Greek or the Aramaic, forever. A lasting ordinance means just that, forever. You see, Passover showed that the Lord made a distinction between his people and those who are not his people. How? By the application of the blood to their doors. Covenant matters. God's still making a distinction in the earth because he says, "This person belongs to me." When the enemy, when the spirit world sees you, they don't just see you. It's not like they're looking at me, seeing this female with blonde hair and da-da-da. They're not intimidated by me. When they look at me, they see the blood covering me, that I am a believer, that I have received Jesus Christ, that the blood is on the doorpost of my house. Passover is all about the blood. It's about God's redeeming power in the earth. So it's important that you understand because it's about your deliverance, your freedom, your protection by the blood of the Lamb. So if you just go through this April 22nd through the 30th and go, it's not important, you're really dishonoring the blood. I want to give you the backdrop and how Passover is so important and applies to us as New Testament believers. You see, it remembers the Israelites' exodus from hundreds of years of slavery, bondage in Egypt, and also the redemption of a newborn nation, a people belonging to the Lord. When we look at Israel or when we think about Passover, we think these old ancient rituals and we look and go, Israel's just a new nation. No. All this is a plan of God. All of this is part of the purpose of God. And Passover is vitally important for you and I. It was the blood of the Passover lamb that rescued the Israelites from that destruction angel. The same with you. It's the blood that is going to rescue you. It was the blood that struck down every firstborn in Egypt. It was the blood that saves, delivers, rescues, protects, and covers you. It is the blood that destroys the enemies of God. As we look back, you see at the end of Genesis that Joseph dies. Remember Joseph with the coat of many colors? He had favor. The people of Israel were protected because he was in position. But now this new Pharaoh, which simply means king, comes on the scene of Egypt. And within several generations of the descendants of Joseph, Israel, they were ruthlessly and viciously enslaved. God's people were being oppressed. They were at the center of the narrative of the Passover. In Exodus 1, 11 through 14, so they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They had to build these store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. The more they made their lives bitter. It says that the more that they begin to increase, the more that God began to multiply them. You see, Pharaoh had practiced genocide. He was a mean king. And the enemy will not stop until you are destroyed. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but the blood. And this is what Passover is all about. It's honoring and recognizing on God's appointment. Now, God himself took the calendar and said, on this date, April the 22nd through the 30th, I want you to stop, halt, don't do life as normal. I want you to recognize that the blood on the door of your heart, the doorpost of the Israelites, provided protection and immunity, the same as it is today. You have to know how to enforce the blood. And part of that is during this Passover season, God's calendar. It's all about the blood. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's important that we enforce our covenant with God that was finalized through his son, Jesus Christ. The covenant principle of Exodus is all about redemption. It has its fullness being released and redeemed from something: sin, the law, judgment, destruction. The Bible says in verse 12 and 13, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. For I am the Lord, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God hasn't changed his mind. He's still going to execute judgment over the enemies of God's chosen people. Who would that be? Israel and the church. The Hebrew word for Egypt means to cramp, to confine, adversary, distress, to bind up. The principle is bondage. So what happens is God raises up a nobody into somebody. This guy by the name of Moses, whose name means to be drawn out, is saved as he goes down the Nile River. You know the story. As he's put before Pharaoh, raised in his own house, and will ultimately be used by God to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. So are you. I believe during this Passover season, your family's coming out of bondage. Your children are. You have a child that is addicted to drugs right now. You have a daughter that is suicidal right now. Whatever that demonic entity that is trying to bind them up, that has them in a place of darkness, in the name of Jesus, as you honor this Passover season, as you understand that it is the blood that brings deliverance, as you, the authority, put the blood over the doorpost. It sounds crazy, but listen, I put oil all over my kids' stuff, all over, you know, our cars. I put grape juice. You say, what does that represent? That represents the blood of Jesus. You see, it's very important that we do these very practical, it's not just symbolic. It is literal in the sense that we believe that there is a line around us that the enemy cannot cross, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. So remember, like Moses, you've been drawn out for your family, for the plan of God, for a purpose. So the first or the next 12 chapters after that, we see the development of Moses, how he's used by God to bring forth his people. The first six chapters deal with the person of the deliverer. God deals with you first. The next six chapters deal with the work of the redemption. From chapter seven on, there's a change in Moses. He's no more timid. He's not hesitant. He's not discouraged. You see the 10 plagues, which were judgment of God on the gods of the Egyptians. Numbers chapter 33, verse 4. And then Passover. Now here, this is so important because God's been developing you and now he's going to use you. He's been working in you to work through you. Passover is instituted by God in chapter 12. because your deliverance has a date. You cannot afford to miss this moment. April the 22nd through the 30th, God has set an appointment with you. You don't want to miss it when God has set that. Embrace it. He's designed these seven feasts, Leviticus chapter 23, for you with very specific instructions for their observance. Feast also means moed, which means a season or an appointed time. Just as the Creator made the sun, the moon, the stars, Genesis 1:14, He also pinpointed times on the calendar when the people of God have to set aside time. And it's not just a normal business day. It's not just life as usual. It's halt. This is God's appointment. Then there's Mikra, a holy convocation, a sacred assembly. It means a rehearsal of God's past, present, and future. So each feast is remembering or foreshadowing an aspect of the ministry of Jesus. Then there's Chag, which means a festive celebration. And all these biblical celebrations contain these deep treasures of understanding. They unveil the Lord's intense desire to fellowship with you. And they show us this picture of His eternal redemptive purposes on earth. You see, there is great reward for you, those who love God, who celebrate these appointed times voluntarily. You don't have to do this. You get to do this. It's out of obedience, a heart attitude that says, I get to honor God during Passover. Now remember, there's three feast seasons, Passover, Pentecost, and Atonement. And each one of those has different feasts. We have three feasts within the first feast season. Pentecost is a standalone. Then you have three feasts within the Atonement. So you have a total of these seven divine appointed times. Don't miss any of them. As we come into Passover, I'm going to explain to you what is that and what do you do about it. Each feast, that is the divine appointment, especially Passover, demonstrates how all that follows in the Old Testament pointed to the cross and beyond. So they illuminate supernatural truths and blessings for you today. This is vitally important. They're all built on the foundation of God's blood covenant with mankind. Because of the blood, there are great benefits for you. Now, I'm going to tell you the benefits of your participation voluntarily, honoring God's appointed time. And everybody wants the blessings. Oh, I'll defeat your enemies. Ah, there'll be financial blessing. There's this, there's that. Everyone wants the blessings. But we're not doing it for the blessings. We're doing it because we're honoring the blood. I want you to keep getting this. Passover means the blood is applied to your life. And you stop for those April 22nd through the 30th. And you honor God. How do you honor God? You recognize it. You can set up special times. There's things that you can do. We have it all on our website. You honor God with an offering, a sacrifice. See, there's certain specific things that happen. Remember, in verse 14 of Exodus 12, He said, it is the Lord's Passover, and this day shall be to you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast, a divine appointment to the Lord throughout all your generations. You'll keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever. Passover means this. It's not so much that you're passing over as it means in the Hebrew to extend the arms of wings over one protecting them. So Passover is not so much like you're passing over or you're shielding. It literally means you're extending the arms. It's protection. So when you activate, now this is important, when you activate, because the Jewish people believe that these spiritual truths are not static, but they're active. So when you remember, which means to mark as being recognized, when you remember what He did thousands of years ago on Passover, because there was literally only one Passover, you're activating the same deliverance right now. You're activating the same protection right now. You're activating, remember, they didn't just come out, I'm about to give you the story of Egypt, but they came out with all the silver, which means redemption, with all the gold, which means glory, and all the raiment of the enemy of the Egyptians. They had been in bondage slavery for 400 years, and God heard their cry because God remembers His covenant. He remembered it with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He remembers it with you. God hears your cry just like He did. You've been crying yourself to sleep. You've been saying, God, when? I'm tired of being lonely. You've been saying, but God, you promised me a financial blessing. He walked out on me. She left me. They fired me. God is not a man that he should lie. He's faithful. He's a covenant-keeping God. What his mouth speaks, his right arm of power causes to be performed. He told Moses, come forth. Then he sends him to Pharaoh, and he demands freedom of God's people. Passover is for your freedom. That's important because as we go into this supernatural, holy, miracle-working season, what area in your life is not free? Is it your mind? Is it your body? Is it your finances? Do you have a Lord over you financially? Whatever you need freedom in, I want you to put your faith and believe God with me that you're about to come out of Passover free. Is debt too hard for God? Is cancer too difficult for God? Is restoration too hard for God? No. There are these 10 plagues, Exodus 7 and 12. And when the final plague is announced, it's the death of all the firstborn. The Lord tells Moses, I'm about to give my people a new beginning. And you have to understand that crisis moments are turning points. They're opportunities. Because it gives you a decisive point where you can make a decision. Either I'm in it or I'm out of it. Either I apply the blood or I don't. Either I partake in Passover or I don't. This is where you can choose to be forever changed by your moment. Or you can be ruled by the circumstance and go into fear for another year. See, these divine moments of change, a moment of enlightenment, a critical but life-changing moment that defines and shapes our history for our future. In verse 6 of Exodus chapter 12, Israel's instructed to keep the lamb and to kill it in the evening. Isn't it amazing? Because it's the exact detail of Christ. 3 o'clock, the same time Christ died. Details matter to God. Before they eat it, they had to take the blood for cleansing from the Egyptian, the defilements. 1 Peter 1:2, Hebrews 9:22, same thing for us, that we have to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They had to strike it on the two sides of the posts, upper doorposts of each house. It represents that the blood cannot be trodden under. Same with us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. God said, eat all of the lamb. It is the Lord's Passover. The lamb was roasted whole and not a bone was broken. Same with our Lord and Savior. John chapter 19, verse 36. Are you starting to see this? This was not just an Old Testament story that you go back and go, oh, wasn't that cool? This is not static. It's active. So as an active, when you're remembering the deliverance that God did, then it activates in the spirit the same deliverance for you, for your generations, for your household. So then you'd say, why is the shedding of the blood, the eating of the lamb, and the placing of the blood on the doorframe so significant? Because that same night, the angel of death would smite every firstborn in the land. Where there was no blood, there was no deliverance. The lamb's blood became their salvation. See, it's more than just knowing about salvation. You have to understand how to apply it, how to appropriate it. 3 million Jews are in captivity, and they're going to get a divine miracle that night because of the blood. Now, hear my heart for a moment. You might go, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but what about your family? What about your children? What about your neighborhood? What about the school your kids go to? What about your city? What about this nation? See, God's looking for someone to stand in the gap and make up the hedge that says the blood of Jesus is over this nation. Maybe you've been raised up as an Esther for such a time as this, to have prayer walks in certain cities, to do certain things. It's vitally important that you recognize there's this moment, this spiritual opportunity where they were visited by the power of God, and so will you be. God will turn your captivity around. In Exodus 3, he says, I'm going to give you favor. When you go, you're not going to go empty. I'm giving you the silver, the gold, the raiment. And the Bible says in Psalm 105:37, not a feeble one among them. They had supernatural health because they ate the lamb. The Bible says in Exodus 15:4, there was complete deliverance from Pharaoh's army. You see, Passover showed that the Lord made a distinction between those who were his people and those who were not. How? By the application of the Lamb's blood. I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over, because during Passover, as you honor God, as you recognize the blood, this is a time that we understand. Listen, I take communion all the time, but this is a time where I really understand the application of the blood. That's why during Passover, we want to get you the communion set. We want to make sure everybody takes communion, because Jesus is our Passover lamb. It's not just symbolic. It's literal. What do I mean by that? The grape juice represents the blood of Jesus. The wafer represents the body of Jesus. What that means is that the blood is the power of God. The body is the promises of God. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Are you getting it? "Therefore, let us keep the feast." Hello? "Therefore, let us keep the feast." Not with old leaven, like not under legalism, not by the law. "Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." His blood has to be appropriated for your life to be protected and covered. So during this time of Passover, we're honoring God. We're recognizing who God is. And as we honor him and we sacrifice to him, because Deuteronomy 16:16 says, "Let no man come before the Lord empty handed." So we bring to him an offering. We bring to him a gift. But at the same time, we're applying the blood. How do I do that practically? The greatest way to me is communion. And no one should be taking communion haphazardly. You've got to take communion and recognize and say, when I take this, if I do it unworthily, if I don't repent, if I don't acknowledge my sin, if I don't get it under the blood, many sleep, which means die, and many are sick. So you say, why is there sickness and why is there so much death in my life? Why are people I love dying and they're sick and there's premature this and premature that? That is not God's portion for you, because we might hear about the blood, but we're not applying the blood. Passover is so holy. Communion is so holy. So there are five important things I'm going to give you in just literally 2 minutes that you must know about Passover. They can be summarized in 5 words: memory, optimism, faith, family, and responsibility. The importance of memory. The Irish Catholic writer Thomas Cahill was so overwhelmed by how the Jewish people literally transformed the world that he authored what proved to become an international bestseller, The Gifts of the Jews. And one of the major gifts that he credits to Jewish genius is the invention of the idea of history. In a day of cancel culture, in a day where everybody seems to forget and doesn't know anything about history, God says, remember. Remember that you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Remember that the Lord took you out of the bondage of slavery. Remember is a biblical mandate. And God's saying to you, remember. Paula, remember what it was like when you were 15 years old. Remember what it was like when your father committed suicide. Remember what it was like when you were abandoned and abused. Remember it was like before the blood. Remember what it was like when you were 18 years old and I sent an angel by the name of Butch Green to go to Grandma Green's trailer, to have a divine encounter with you, to read the word to you so that you could apply the blood to your life. I'm not going to have time to teach you the rest, but I just think I need to stay right here and remember, because if you forget, you end up trampling the blood. You end up not applying the blood. Remember. And what God's saying is, I know life gets so busy, and I know that this past year you've gone through a lot, and I know you because I created you, and it's easy for you just to kind of move away from the importance and saying, I put these dates on the calendar so you would remember the blood. You would remember how empty you were before salvation. You would remember how broken you were. You remember how tied up you were. You couldn't stop sleeping with that person. You couldn't stop drinking that much. You couldn't stop in the shame and the guilt. You couldn't stop feeling dirty, because the enemy had an upper hand. But I came to you. And Paula, even though it's been 38, almost 39 years, I want you, April the 22nd through the 30th, to remember. That's what Passover is about. So I'll be taking communion, and I pray you will, every single day during this Passover. I'll be honoring God with an extremely generous offering. Why? Because he tells me to. And it's not that I have to. This is not a matter of heaven or hell. Like, I'm going to go to hell if I don't do this. This is a matter of I get to. And when I do, I'm applying the blood and saying, I remember. And just like it brought me out when I was 18, out of darkness, out of anorexia, out of bulimia, out of bondage, out of addiction, out of generational curses, out of fear, out of hurt, out of woundedness, I can keep going. That same power is activated. That whatever needs to be delivered in my bloodline, and wherever I see to appropriate the blood, I believe God, he'll do it again.